Thank you. That was beautiful. Good morning. I don't want to frighten you, but I'm coming back there. And Victor gave me permission to take my shoes off. So, you know, once they're off, they're staying off. I just want to see you. I know how crazy you people are that hang out at the back, so I just wanted to see who's here. Good morning. I won't make you stand up. I won't make you answer any questions. Just want to gaze on your loveliness, because you know I already love this community. Shanna talks about you all the time, how amazing you are. She's one of my dearest friends, and you are so fortunate to have a minister who is just pure love and pure light. She has ministered to me on many of Did you lose me? Sometimes we get lost when we wander, huh? I wasn't lost, I was just exploring, right? So have you ever had one of those days? You know, one of those days. We've all had them, haven't we? I mean, you can imagine that person who wakes up and realizes their alarm never went off and they're late for work and they're grabbing their Pop-Tart on the way out the door. Well, you guys probably eat healthier than that, but trip over the dog on the way out, get out to the car, realize, oh, I forgot to put gas in it. And of course, then they're already running late, and so the traffic is horrible. They get to work and sneak in the side door, hoping not to be seen, and there's the boss. You know, one of those days. And then somewhere during the morning, someone comes up to set of unfortunate circumstances, a set of unexpected things that have thrown them off today. Kind of like your mic going in and out. Sure. Do you want me to change mics? Okay.
Is that better? Yeah. But see, then, if you really think about it, there's probably more good going on than bad. So my mic's going out, but I'm here with you guys. I mean, that person woke up, didn't they? Their heart was beating, they were breathing. They didn't wake up with the flu. Their car started. Maybe they were even fortunate enough as they dove in and out of traffic not to have anyone gesture rudely out their window at them. And they had a job. You know, we tend to let a few experiences define our day. And for whatever reason, those negative experiences carry so much energy, don't they? And they capture us, and then we carry that forward because we label it. I'm having a bad day. And sometimes those experiences define our life. There was a woman hiking through the hills in California. And she was looking up ahead on the path in the distance and suddenly saw something brown and slithery. It was coiled up in the middle of the path. And she could feel her heart start to race because snakes were the things she was most afraid of. She said she could see poison oak on either side of the trail, so she was trying to figure out if she could maneuver around this snake, but it didn't seem that there was any way that was really safe. And so her mind began to run away with itself. The sun was starting to set. She says, "My heart beat fast. I saw images of myself up there all night, freezing and hungry. No one would know I was there." Well, she decided to approach with caution. and about 30 feet, she saw that the snake wasn't moving. She thought, well, maybe it's just sleeping. Maybe it's dead. So she went a little closer, and she said her perception of the shape began to change. Was it a snake or some other animal I'd never seen before? Finally, she says, when I was about 20 feet away, it hit me. This wasn't a snake at all. It was a huge cow pie, dead center in the middle of the road. She said, I laughed, suddenly glad no one was there to see how foolish I had been. My heart rate slowed, and I hiked down the hill. My reaction had been appropriate to what I had seen. The perceived threat brought on a raised heartbeat and images of a night on the trail alone. It got me thinking how much of my life is spent reacting to what I think is really out there, but may not be. It's a man named Malcolm Gladwell who wrote the book Blink, The Power of Thinking Without Thinking. Some of you may have read it. He makes the compelling case that we are constantly reacting to conclusions we've drawn, whether we are aware of them or not. They dictate our choices and shape our behavior more than we know. Particularly striking is the fact that many conclusions are like reflexes. We don't control them. They have the automatic quality of a knee-jerk response. You know, we think of conclusions as opinions that we have formed after we've considered all the facts, after we've gathered evidence and come to this understanding. But actually, conclusions are usually instantaneous and precede most experience. Gladwell goes on to say, the mind is a conclusion manufacturing machine. It is common knowledge people form conclusions about each other in 1 to 2 minutes. Often conclusions are formed in a matter of seconds. We form conclusions like that. So the minute we meet someone, before we even speak to them, we've formed some kind of conclusion about them. And we often hold them to that definition, regardless of who they prove themselves to be, because we begin to gather evidence about what we've decided. So if we do that with someone we've just met, imagine what we do with people we've known 10, 20, 30 years, or a lifetime. How can we give them the ability to change when we have been gathering evidence for all that time to support us in seeing them as we think they are? Conclusions are kind of like the period at the end of our sentence. Gladwell says a conclusion is like a reflex. It takes very little to set one off. Once it's triggered, the brain only looks for evidence that will validate that conclusion. Therefore, our evidence is automatically and predominantly determined by the triggered conclusion, not the other way around. Wow. Jane goes to London, sits down in a pub, orders a cup of tea and a Kit Kat chocolate bar. She's a woman after my own heart. A man sits down next to her, reaches over, and breaks off a section of the candy. A few minutes later, he does this again, finishing the last of the chocolate bar. Well, Jane doesn't want to look like a seasoned unseasoned American tourist. And she's read that pubs are friendly communal places, so maybe this is how things are done here, she thinks. So she decides to hold her tongue. That is, until the man orders a jelly donut and then gets up and takes it to another table, where he sits down next to another solitary woman who's there eating. Sure, the man is about to harass this woman as well. Jane marches over to the table, grabs a donut, and takes a big bite. Then she slams it down and makes her way out the door. Ha! I showed him, she's thinking. Trouble is that when Jane gets outside to her bus stop, she reaches into her purse for change, and what does she find? Her Kit Kat bar. She's actually been eating his all along. No doubt setting Anglo-American relations back a century or two. So we draw a conclusion. and it's automatic. And then we gather evidence to prove we're right. Because we like to be right, don't we? Yeah. We like to be right. So once we've decided on something, we have to prove ourselves right. So we start to gather the evidence to prove that, to make our point. That's the term foregone conclusion. But see, when we do that, we stop possibility. We stop there being a chance that this person is more than we think they are, that this experience has something bigger for us, that our lives are about something greater. Because when we form a conclusion, it's as if we put a period at the end of the sentence. I've never been good at relationships, period. He has always been uncooperative, period. I'm just not creative, period. You can't trust politicians, period. We put that period at the end of our sentence and never question the conclusion we've drawn. We gather evidence to prove our point. And here's the deal. The brighter we are and the more time we have on our hands, the more detailed and deliciously descriptive our data becomes. You look like a smart group. And then we look for the people who are going to agree with that conclusion. Can you believe how much she gossips? You know, this economy, there's just no getting ahead with everything going on in the world. Often we think that in order to change our thoughts, we have to go through a long process. I think they say it takes 21 days to change a habit. And I'm sure most of you are familiar with statements of affirmations. If you've taken 4T, saying I am prosperous 100 times every day for the course of the class. We think we have to retrain our minds, reframe our beliefs, go to our therapist and work it through. But the truth is, it's a lot easier than that. That's the good news. My son is a pitcher. Do we have any baseball fans in here? Yeah. Well, for those of you who follow baseball, he's a 6'4" lanky left-hander, which, you know, in the baseball world is gold. He's about 17 going into his senior year. But the thing about left-handers is, you know, they get that right brain involved, and they're a little unpredictable. They have a, you know, whole creative process around what they do. Well, I've been sitting at baseball games since my boys were 4 years old. So I've watched a lot of baseball, and I've watched Drew pitch a lot. And I've learned something from him about this whole idea. As I said, sometimes he can be unpredictable. And I've seen him get up on the mound, walk the first batter, 4 balls. Well, at that point, he could be drawing the conclusion, all right, I just don't have it today. I'm not on. This isn't going well. But he doesn't do that. Instead, his mindset is, okay, that's not working. We've established that, so I can let that go and readjust. And after that, I've seen him come out and throw smoke and sit the next 3 batters down. Sometimes it's that simple. It's about drawing a new conclusion. A conclusion that interests us. A conclusion that captures our attention. Because once you do that, your thoughts and your behaviors will naturally and effortlessly conform to gather evidence for the new conclusion. Wow. You know, we see this in the story in the Bible with Joseph. If you're familiar with that story, you know, Joseph, good guy, made the mistake of having a dream that he would be great one day. His brothers got jealous, faked his murder, sold him into slavery. He had a lot of unfortunate events in his life. He might have even said a couple times, "I'm having a bad day." But he didn't. He kept going. He kept doing his thing. Went to work for the Pharaoh, was doing pretty well when suddenly the Pharaoh's wife developed a little interest in him. And when he wouldn't cooperate, set him up, making it look like they had had an affair and sending Joseph to prison. It was only his ability to interpret dreams that saw him through the situation. He began to build a reputation for this gift, and the Pharaoh, when he had this amazing and interesting dream that he couldn't understand, called Joseph. And Joseph interpreted the dream and told him there would be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And if they planned right, they would be ready for that. And that ended up being the case. And Joseph did rise to power, becoming second in command under the Pharaoh. And guess who showed up? His brothers. They were hungry. They hadn't planned. They showed up and they asked him for food. And Joseph forgave them. And what he said to them is, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good. What you meant for evil, God meant for good." He looked for the evidence of God's good, and good was the result. He formed the conclusion that God would always provide, that Spirit would see him through. You see, we don't have to create good in our life. It's already there. We just have to form different conclusions. Practicing possibility means forming conclusions that support what you want to create. Charles Fillmore said it this way in Adam Smashing Power of the Mind. To decree with assurance is to establish and fix an ideal and substance. The force behind the decree is invisible, like a promise to be fulfilled at a future time. But it binds with its invisible chains the one who makes it. We have only a slight conception of the strength of the intangible. We compare and measure strength by some strong element in nature. We say strong as steel, but a very little thought will convince us that mental affirmations are far stronger than the strongest visible thing in the world. We can shift our mind like that. We can form a new conclusion like that. So maybe instead, when the alarm doesn't go off and you're late for work and you are experiencing a series of unfortunate circumstances, what if instead you said, "Wow, it looks like I'm having an interesting day." Or, "I must be about to have an unusual day. It's obvious today will be filled with the unexpected and give me an opportunity to get out of my routine. I am willing to dance in the mystery of this day." What if you drew that conclusion? Don Ward said, "If you are going to doubt something, doubt your limits." Don't let an experience define what's not possible. Let it be the roadmap for what is possible. So what could your life look like if you began to look for evidence that you are brilliant, that you are courageous, that you are unstoppable, that you are an innovator, that you are daring, that you are passionate? What could your life look like if you formed that conclusion and then began to gather evidence to support that? What might be possible then? Because practicing possibility is a moment-by-moment choice. You know, we like to talk about possibility and that ethereal realm and its bigness and its greatness. And that's good too. But if we're going to experience it in our human lives every day, if we're going to put it into practice, it's a moment-by-moment choice to draw conclusions that support what we want to create in our life. If we want to create amazing relationships, then start gathering evidence that the relationships you have are amazing. I would like to end with this quote by Cecil Beaton. Be daring, be different, be impractical. Be anything that will assert integrity of purpose and imaginative vision against the play-it-safers, the creatures of the commonplace, and the slaves of the ordinary. Let's pray. And so we breathe into that awareness, knowing that a new possibility has been born in our lives this day. For in this moment, we get to choose the conclusions we will draw about ourselves, about others, about our life. So today, let us decide. I am brilliant. I am courageous. I am unlimited. I am unstoppable. I am daring. I am passionate. We are free. I am love. I am love. And we are free. And so let us go forth and gather evidence to support all that we can be. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you very much for that reminder of who we really are. At this time, I would like to